Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11 o'clock, and we have three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number, no matter where you are on the old planet. If you're using a cell phone, it should be free. So feel free to get online. And we've got some calls coming in, so let's go right to those. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to Scott in Colchester. What's going on, Scott?
Morning. I've got an issue with my Windows 11 PC. It's about 2 years old. It's an HP Omen 40L. Decent machine when I bought it. And what's happening is when I go to start up now, it brings me through the splash screen, and then I get the Windows, it goes dee, 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 and then it just stopped, and I get a blue circle that continues to run and run and run and run. And I let it, I'm thinking it was an update. I let it run overnight one time. Nothing, it didn't improve. And then the only way I can get into the computer itself is to go through the restore process. Or I should say restoration point. So, and then once I do that, it restarts. And then it continues every time I shut the machine off and try to turn it back on again. Same thing.
Okay, so you definitely have a problem with your operating system. And we did say happy birthday to Microsoft, so you can see our frustrations too. The song is ringing in my ears that we played. So it's kind of like a blue screen of death, but it's not. It's not blue screening. It's not erroring, but something. Waiting for something, and it's not going forward. You're going to a recovery point, and then you're booting cleanly.
Right, but once he boots cleanly, it goes back to doing whatever it did before.
Right.
And then it's going to fail the next time it starts.
That's the problem.
What I'm going to suggest the first step to fix this is to repair the operating system. And there is a way to do that. Microsoft builds into the operating system tools for that purpose because they know that the operating system can mess itself up.
But they don't know that you've gone to restore point every day for the past week.
Because there's no log of that activity, because every time you go back to a restore point, you've actually gone back in time.
It's like Groundhog Day.
So the logs from whatever went wrong are not there anymore.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm going to suggest is you run a couple of tools that Microsoft built in. Again, they're called DISM.
DISM?
DISM and SFC. And it's, I forgot what DISM stands for, but SFC stands for System File Checker.
So for Shizzle, you got to run the DISM.
Yes, and you have to run DISM first.
All right.
Because it what DISM does is it'll actually download from Microsoft the latest image of what Windows 11 should be.
Yeah, yeah.
And it collects those files. It saves them there in a repository. And then SFC uses that repository to check the system files that you've got,
right,
and it fixes the ones that are not right. So
okay. So once
where do I find those?
Well, we're going to post an article on our website and on Facebook and on Twitter or X or whatever it's okay. called now.
Yeah. You'll have access, so you can try those things, see if that fixes your, yes. your problem.
I hope. What's the difference between like restoring it to repairing the Windows, or I'm assuming if you do a repair of the Windows, that it doesn't affect any of your documents or programs or apps as they call
them? No. It won't do anything to those things. It only touches operating system files.
However,
okay,
you should have a backup.
Correct,
because for
you
Shizzle,
never know
yeah.
what could go wrong.
It could blow up and have a problem with its fix.
Here's the thing that I'm going to get to. Mm. Why is this happening to you?
Right.
Okay. Why would the operating system go from being in a working condition to a not working condition? And the thing that I'm concerned about is there might be a hardware problem in the computer that's kind of triggering that.
It's not the hardware, man. No, I'm just sorry.
But once you've repaired the operating system using these tools, go forward. And then as things go wrong with the computer in the future, take a look at different logs. You might see behaviors in other programs or something. And just keep an eye on all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to be vigilant. You have to be observant. And take a look in different logs and see what it is that might be going on and try to come up with a common explanation for that.
Usually it's RAM or a hard drive.
Yeah, usually.
Okay. I mean, I've listened to you guys for years, so I back up everything in multiple media.
And Mike G mentioned something about the article that we are posting.
Yeah.
When you run the command prompt, you need to what they call elevate it.
Yes.
Okay. That means you hit the Windows button or Windows key, type CMD, and then you right click on the command prompt that comes up and you have it run as administrator. If you run it normally without doing that extra step, it will break. It will not work.
You lack the power.
Yeah. And that's included in the article, but I just thought I'd mention that to you guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. Mike's always looking out for you guys.
Mm-hmm. He's like, you guys missed this. You guys missed that. You missed that. Without Mike, this show wouldn't work. So
yeah, this would be a smoking crater without Mike.
So try that out, Scott. Hopefully it's just going to be a fix to a corrupted operating system for some reason. But I think Dennis is right. Could be a precursor to something else going wrong. Let's hope it's not.
Right. Right? It may not. I mean, you may fix the operating system and then it runs fine for another 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're going to go, instead of going 00110, it's going to be 11001, and you're all set. That's all you're doing.
I ran all the diagnostics on the machine and everything came back okay. So.
All right. Then it's just Microsoft. And so let's see if this fix works.
It might just be the OS. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Microsoft.
Exactly.
Hooray.
All right, Scott. Go waste your time fixing Microsoft's operating system. All right, so he's got something to do on a Saturday morning. Let's go on to who's on the longest here. Mark in Glastonbury. What's going on, Mark? Mark, you there? I have touched the button correctly and he has potted up correctly. This is not my issue. You there, Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Ah.
What's up?
Hey, cool. Hey man, you're not going to believe this. I got a new HP laptop, right?
Okay.
So it comes with a password. You know, when you first get it, it comes with like a generic password
It does?
Well, the place I got it from, they had this, you put a word in a letter, and that enabled it to work. So I changed the password, right? And, but it's a new HP, smaller laptop.
Yeah.
So, you know, with, I don't have it with me. I'm not at home right now. So.
All right. So you changed the password. Now that password doesn't work.
Yeah. I forgot it. So then, you know, I get to three questions. You ask your three questions.
Yes.
And I had written down what you, the place where I got it from had three questions, and you answered them, all of them questions.
Yeah.
If you forgot your password, then it enabled the laptop computer to work.
Yes.
So I changed all those too, and I forgot all those. I'm locked out.
Mike, or Mark, what are you doing over there, dude?
I screwed up.
Well, we can't break you into the computer technically. I wish we could, but we can't.
Yeah, yeah. I tried with another guy.
Yeah,
he's up on. You know, I've been listening to you guys for years. This guy's pretty good. We got pretty far, and then it asked for the bit locker.
BitLocker code. Okay, yeah.
So you're BitLockered, so, and you forgot your passwords. This is a weird. Was this a used computer, Mark?
Brand new.
That's bizarre. Okay.
So, well, the person I got it from bought it new and set it up this way.
All right.
Okay. But it was like new in the box. So what happened was, I tried getting with the BitLocker. That didn't work.
No.
So now I called the in the back of the HP laptop, there's a phone number. You call them. They put you on, they put you on hold, HP, and then you talk to them, and then they ask you if it was never. We never set up Windows on it. You know how you're supposed to register it with Windows?
Yeah.
So would that stop me from getting the BitLocker? Will
no.
I be able?
How it's BitLocker. You can't get around BitLocker.
No.
Yeah, I know you can't.
So you're going to factory reset it.
Change the hard drive, right?
No, you can factory reset it.
You can still do a factory reset. What you'll do is do that at boot time. So shut it off completely, okay? And wait, I don't know, 30 seconds. The thing's got to be cold, okay? Turn it on, but as soon as you turn it on, keep hitting the escape key over and over and over. Eventually, you'll see a boot menu where it asks you how you want to start the computer. One of the options, of course, is to start normally, and that would go to Windows, which you can't do right now. But another option will be to recover the computer. It depends on the language that they put on the screen, but it'll be either...
Windows 11. It's Windows 11.
Yeah, but the manufacturer... You're still at the point where it's the manufacturer asking you the questions, right. Not Microsoft. So it'll be either factory recovery,
right.
Factory reset, some word like that will be the option that you're going to choose in that menu. And then just follow the prompts.
Factory something. You're going to have to start from
scratch. You're just
going to
do a factory reset.
And you're going to lose everything that's on that computer if you put anything on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it'll just wipe the drive and start over because it's BitLocker and it can't really do anything else to it.
Right.
But it'll start over, but then it'll be just like a new computer.
It'll be like a brand new computer right out of the box without somebody having already set it up with those things.
Yeah. And I recommend a pen and paper and write this stuff down.
Yep. And caveat, you're going to have a Microsoft account.
Right.
Or create one as part of the process of doing this. Yeah. You are invited to create a Microsoft account, and you can just do it at that time.
The person that I got this from told me that they didn't want to do that because they're up on computers, and they said because you get all kinds of...
I know, I understand.
All kinds of annoying stuff that you guys talk about.
I understand that.
I
went along with it, and maybe... Would I have been better off to set that up? No or yes?
No, you have to set it up these days.
All right. Here's the thing.
Okay. We got to go to break,
There's
though.
All kinds of ways around that,
yeah.
But they always change. The best thing to do, unfortunately, is to live with that requirement.
Resistance is futile.
It's just not something that can keep going forward, unfortunately.
Okay, so once I got to the part which is a factory reset, create a Microsoft account, and then what?
Go do your thing.
You just start it up, and it'll have Windows in it, and you can start fresh from the beginning.
And you can start day trading.
Can you? I wish I had your money. Hey,
not me.
You, no. After what's going on with the stock market, I know you heard about it. It's insane.
It's a buy.
So could you, is it possible to get, I didn't write all this stuff down.
Listen to the show. It's recorded, Mark.
Well, we can post a link.
We'll post a link
on
computertalkwithtab.com.
Okay.
The name of the show.com, which also works. But we got to go. Carolyn's going to kill me.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You got it.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Love your show.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Attention, ladies in the Leawood area. Beaumont Health and Wellness is here and offers award-winning wellness and beauty treatments like hormone therapy, weight loss, body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Right now, get our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to recharge your body. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, we are back. Here till 11 o'clock, three lines open for you. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're going to Mike in Springfield. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hi, guys. Hi. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, so now I used to get second and third hand Apple phones, and now I finally went out and got an Android, a fairly new one. And now, it was easy with that in the Apple environment, Apple phones, to go, like, do Find My Phone and things like that. Now I'm dealing Android versus and Apple. So, like, in the house, so there's an Apple phone that's fairly new, and then we have an Android. So my question is to, you know, sometimes you can use Find My Phone or follow the location of the other phone. And I'm not sure what app I could download on both phones that would be compatible with each other.
They aren't.
They're not.
You're using two different services to home in on the devices. Google has their own Find My Android, and then Apple has Find My iPhone.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, you can use an AirTag. You can an Android AirTag, which would be, I think Samsung has some AirTag. We're waiting for, you know, Google to come up with an AirTag, but they haven't come up with one, which is kind of
weird.
They
have AirTags.
No, they really don't. Trust me.
Oh, no, you're right.
They're Android.
Don't.
I've been waiting. Yeah. But there are some Samsung ones. So if you're looking to track the person, you know, whoever it might be, you can use an AirTag. But
no, that's an idea. So if an Android AirTag, you're saying of sort.
Yeah, because you have an Android phone.
Yeah, we got a couple of AirTags for Christmas, but they're for Apple.
Yeah.
Well, the Android has its own built-in find device.
It does.
Yeah, so yes. You don't need an AirTag or anything like
that. No, but if he wants to find the Apple person, that's what he needs it for, because he can't track them because they're not compatible, right?
Yeah, like if we...
I know whole families that have all that tracking on. I think that's kind of weird. That's just me. But they are like tracking each other. They know where all the locations are. And not that they're doing anything wrong. But why are you tracking every moment of everything?
It's mostly just to find, like, if I misplaced the phone.
Yeah.
Well, listen to this. You know, I've been resistant to getting a cell phone for a long time. So I was bumming second and third hand Apple phones. So I finally went out and bought a phone.
Yeah.
And I took my old home phone out.
Nice.
And my home phone was really using a cell phone system. It was like a little Wi-Fi box, but he's using a cell signal. And I plugged my regular home digital phones into it and get them all over the house.
Right.
Well, now when I first started using my new phones, since I haven't been in the habit of always dragging a phone around with me, I would put my phone down where the old home phone was.
There you go.
So I'd be out somewhere. I'd say, where's my phone? Oh, it's on the stand at home where the old phone was.
All right. That works. I mean, there's people that put, you know, they don't have their, my wife is notorious for losing her phone. Where did I put my phone down? It's weird. My phone is attached, which is probably less healthy. I think your way you're doing it, Mike, is more healthy. You put that phone down away from you. That way you can do other things.
A regular place.
Yeah. And you're not tempted to sit there and doom scroll all day.
Okay, thanks, gents. I figured it. I wasn't having very good luck in the app stores finding anything like that. So
yeah, they're not compatible.
Maybe you need some miracle secret formula.
Nope. No, we don't.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Good day.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, once you're in Ecosphere, you got to either beat them or join them, but you really can't work. Heck, texting between Apple and Android is still some sort of weird conspiracy, right? I mean, is it a blue text versus a green text?
Yeah, I don't understand why people are so worried about the color of the bubble.
I don't know, but it is what it is. So we're here till 11, four lines open for you guys. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you join us over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network on Facebook, just ask to join. And if you're not a crackpot, we'll let you in. And you can ask questions there, and all of our links are posted there for you. You can follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys. And now, yes, we are now broadcasting on both Facebook and YouTube. So whichever your pleasure of your streaming, you can watch a couple of pasty white computer geeks here do our best to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. So everything's there for you guys. Of course, subscribe to the Odyssey app, and you can get our show anytime you want it or need it. And we'll be happy to put you to sleep. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Four lines wide open on this Saturday morning. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll get to your calls when they come in. But do we have any news you wanted to bring up there, Dennis?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention something that Mozilla is entertaining.
Yeah.
They are the company that makes Firefox, the browser. They originally started out as the company that made the browser Netscape.
Yes.
Way back in the day.
And they took on Microsoft and lost, sort of. Well, they won, but they sort of lost.
They started to win, and then they ultimately lost again.
Yeah.
At any rate, another of the products that they offer, which is actually a pretty good product, is the Thunderbird email client.
Yeah.
Which is very good for, generic IMAP accounts and things like that.
Yep.
What they're going to be doing, I'm not sure when it's going to roll out, but they're going to be offering what they're going to call Thunder Mail, which is not just the client to get the email.
Right.
It's also the email service itself.
Yep.
So you would have, Dennis Hellman at thundermail.com
right.
as my address. Initially, this is going to be rolled out as Thunderbird Pro, and it's something that you would have to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
But they anticipate being able to provide a free level of email service at some point.
Okay, but again,
once they start getting some revenue. But it's another way for them to build revenue, because right now they're just a software company.
Right.
And they don't have a subscription model.
Right.
So now they're offering something that's going to create a subscription service that people will pay.
Yeah, and paid email really is the right way to go if you want a more security.
It is. And you know, I mean, we've talked a lot about Proton Mail, but I would think that if they actually do this, it sounds like they will.
Yeah.
It's probably something that I could support.
Yeah, as long as it's going to be encrypted end to end the same way Proton is. If it's not, it's just like any other Gmail.
Right,
or
but even so, they're a different kind of an organization than a Microsoft or a Google or any of those other outfits.
That's true.
So it's just something that might be a benefit to people. That's all.
Yeah. We'll put the link out there for you. Microsoft, I brought this up on Tuesday with Brian. They're redesigning the BSOD, which is the blue screen of death, and they're turning it into a BSOD.
What?
A black screen of death.
What are they doing?
They're literally making a black screen of death.
Oh.
And they're testing it with a green screen of death.
All right. That could only be out of Redmond, okay?
Exactly. This is a Verge article, and they are testing, you know, that little colon with the left paren, you know.
Right.
Your PC ran into a problem and it couldn't handle and now needs to restart. They want you to go to something new and have a black screen of death that might have some sort of a code on it, of course. Excuse me. And it'll turn into a black screen in test builds of Windows 11. The company then is going to revert back and forth, but they're just trying to figure out if this is a better way to tell you that every OS sucks versus a blue screen of death.
Well,
I mean, they have time and energy to make their screen a different color. For what reason? They're trying to make it look like it's doing an update, or they're trying to make it look like it's thinking rather than crashing.
Well, it's the whole blue screen of death thing. I mean, it's not something that you want to see as a computer user to begin with.
Right.
And they're not always that informative. I would like to have something that's a little more informative.
Well, in the test build,
I don't really care what color it is.
You want the information. In the test build, it shows you it's a black screen with a zero complete, and then it says stop code, driver IRQL. We see this all the time, not less than or equal to, right? And they have an issue there. And then it goes, what failed? And then it's colon, myfaults.sys. So it's introspective. it's got a little myfaults.sys file, and I just find it amazing that this is a thing. Even failing for Microsoft has to be a big thing. You can't make it up. All right, let's go on to your calls. We're going to Charlie in Avon next. What's happening, Charlie?
Hey, so I have these two businesses. They're the same business, but they're two locations. So each location has their own computers in the office. And I want to try and start running back and forth with a laptop. I want to be able to have access to the two computers on my laptop, all the information that's on there, but also not have those computers have access to the other information I have on my laptop.
Yeah. All right. What's the trouble? Why?
Well, I don't know. I just don't know how to do that.
So each system, each of the separate disparate companies, you would log in. Do they have servers or are they just pure networks?
They both have servers.
Real Windows servers?
Yes.
Oh. And you have a login in company A as Charlie, and you have a login in company B as Charlie. And then you should be able to set folders in either of those companies that are secure to just you. Of course, you and the admin, because the admin's got access to everything. Sorry to inform you. So, yeah, you if you just log in as Charlie in Company A, you know, charlie@companya.com, you're going to be logging in there and access to whatever you want within your folders is set up within the server. Group policies, it's within how you set up the folder structure. You can have areas that are secured just for Charlie at both companies, but you want to log in. You have two disparate logins. that had to be configured on each server, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I can just get on that on my laptop and kind of access the computers from anywhere?
Nope, didn't say that. Those give you two accounts. Now, if you want to access from anywhere, you'll need what's called a firewall, a router, with right on the end of your internet connection. Those internet connections are going to have public IP addresses, and you're going to use what's called a VPN, a virtual private network. You will log into the firewall with a VPN, and you're going to configure two-factor authentication on that. If you don't, you're crazy.
Right.
And you're going to then authenticate that you're Charlie logging into Company A, and then the VPN says, okay, come on in. What's your password? And you log in. That's how you get in from anywhere.
Okay, so that's kind of how it works when I call, like, tech support or something, and they get into my computer?
No, completely different.
No.
When tech support does that, that's okay. When you have tech support help you, they're putting on a product called Screen Connect, or it's an interstitial interface, sort of, that allows them to connect to you the other direction.
Right. Yeah, and all that they see is the computer that you're using.
Right.
Now, that computer may in turn be connected to other things.
Yes.
But they don't have direct access to those other things except through your computer, because that's all that they are connected to.
So with the VPN, I can get into the server and kind of do the work that I need to do.
Yep. It'll depend on the work you want to do. So now we have to talk about the software and the programs you want to write. If you have just a VPN connection, think of that as a very long extension cord from wherever you are to your server that you're connecting to. That little extension cord, though, has thinner bandwidth than if you're within the building. So if you're on the premise, you're going to have a much faster connection than through that little VPN connection.
Right. It would just be running reports from the POS system.
When you say running reports, are you going to actually have the ports print out somewhere or just generate?
I might have them print out on the printer that's attached to the Wi-Fi in my house. So.
Oh.
You're going to redirect it back.
Yeah. That's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it all depends on your bandwidth and the company's bandwidth that you're connecting to. But they have to set up a VPN, two-factor authentication, and a password for you, let you in, and configure that for you. And then you can go to town.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's what we do every day, Charlie. If you need help, let us know.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it, sir.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, so that's how everything happened through COVID, right? Everyone had to instantly go from working in the office to remotely.
Yeah, I mean, hearing him talk about what he's doing, that was shades of what happened when COVID's hit.
Yeah.
You know, just thinking out the different scenarios. How do I get to this from there?
And different software is going to work differently. When you run and just connect to VPN, you may not have enough bandwidth to, like, open up a big database file. If you have a big SQL file or some sort of big program you're trying to open up, dragging that across the VPN might be very slow.
Well, we had users that were trying to use things like QuickBooks over a VPN.
Yep.
They're running QuickBooks on the computer that's in front of them,
right,
but they're connecting via VPN to a QuickBooks file that's in the office.
Right.
That doesn't work.
Not so good.
We found that out really the hard way, and Intuit does not even support that. But there were people that were doing it because
they have no bandwidth.
They just decided that that's what they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was working for a while until it breaks. And then they were calling us and we had to break the news to them. Yeah, you can't do that. So what we were telling people to do is to remote into a computer in your office.
Right. Manipulate the file.
Right.
In your
Use the VPN to connect to the computer using remote desktop, and then use QuickBooks in that remote desktop session in the office only. So
it was crazy times.
Yeah.
Still crazy.
And that's only one of the scenarios that we had to deal with. I mean, there's 100 of them.
Yeah. We had to move multiple thousands of people remotely in just a few months.
And we had to come up with them on the fly too.
Yeah. It was nutty.
Everybody did.
So we're going to be here till 11, four lines wide open for you guys. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Everything's posted at computertalkwithtab.com. And of course, if you miss a show, you can subscribe to our Odyssey app, the show on the Odyssey app. Go to WTIC's page or go to Odyssey, download the app, and go find Computer Talk with Tab, and you can subscribe to our program, and you'll get it delivered to you, and you'll never miss a program. All right, we are back. And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Leslie will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. And we've got some calls coming in here for you. But as we wait, there was a story I just saw. Arkansas, the social media age verification law is blocked by a federal judge.
Oh.
So it was struck down because he feels that, or she, I can't think, I don't know if it's who it was. They feel it was unconstitutional.
Oh.
To actually require age verification on social media platforms having to do with free speech. And I guess it really has to do with more of instead of taking a sledgehammer approach to it, they want more of a scalpel approach to it. So I'm not a legal scholar here, but again, trying to protect the kids is hard to do these days.
It is.
And I don't know why you can't require that as far as making sure you don't have minors on there. But then again.
Well, here I'm just going to toss out the consideration.
Yeah, of course.
When you're trying to find out if somebody is 18, you can often use a credit card as a request for that, because you got to be 18 to have one. Okay.
Right.
And as long as you can vet the credit card, then you've got a reasonable expectation that somebody's 18. Mm-hmm. Now, it could be some kid that swipes his parents' card.
Yeah.
All right. You're going to have that.
Yep.
But when you're trying to find out if somebody is 13 or over or under.
Yeah.
What do you use as your guide, your barometer?
Right. There's that.
There isn't really anything. You just type my birthday is whatever.
Yeah. You're right.
So how good is that checking even going to be? It's an open question
for me.
One
of many things.
Yeah.
The judge also highlighted the unconstitutionally vague applicability of the law, which seemingly creates obligations for some online services, but may have exempted services which have predominant to the exclusion function, direct messaging, like Snapchat.
Oh, so it sounds like
they wrote it for just social media.
Right, and they didn't really define social media very well.
Right. I mean,
I say that in air quotes.
Define it all. Just define it all and start setting verification. So they're going back to the drawing board and trying to figure out ways to protect the children. Let's go to Pat in Ellington next. What's happening, Pat?
Hi there.
Hey, how are you? The cow patties all defrosted?
Funny guys today.
And there's always that nice, natural, you know, wafting when you drive through Ellington. It's a lovely smell. Go ahead. Let's go on.
I got a Dell laptop. It's fairly new. I'm going to say like 2 years old.
Okay.
All of a sudden just died. Black screen. No blue screen of death. Just a black screen. All they get different is that the power indicator is constantly blinking between white and yellow.
Okay, that means something.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to suggest that there's a problem with the battery, and it has probably reached the point where it isn't holding a charge. 2 years is a little quick for that to happen, but it's not completely unreasonable. Let me rephrase that. It's unreasonable to have a battery that dies after 2 years, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that it aged out after only 2 years.
Okay.
And you definitely want to consult your manual.
Yes.
Read the flipping manual, RTFM. Because it'll tell you what it means. Blinking amber and white often indicates it's a problem with the system board or hardware failure.
Oh, it could be system board too, yeah.
So it could be also...
That's what I was concerned about,
Yep, could be RAM. Could be a CMOS battery failure, which shouldn't also fail in 2 years.
No. CMOS battery definitely shouldn't fail in 2 years.
So that'll be right in your manual. So if you look at what the lights are doing, the manual should tell you what it means.
Yeah.
Okay. What if you don't have a manual?
Well, the beauty of the interwebs is you can find it on Dell's site.
Go to Dell.com.
I tried that.
And click on support, and you should be able to put what's called your service tag in.
Yeah.
And it should lead you to pretty much everything about that computer, from drivers to manuals to documentation, even warranty status.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's probably not under warranty after 2 years, but you could check that too. And it all goes by that service tag number.
Yeah. Okay. I will try that this afternoon. I guess I got a project.
There you go. It should tell you pretty quickly what they think it is.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you guys so much for your input.
Our pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
I still wonder about the battery.
It could be, yeah. It could be a battery issue. 2 years, like you said, though, is kind of young.
Yeah.
All right. You want to bring up anything else before we get into the top of the hour here, Dennis?
Oh, yeah. Talking about computers.
Yeah.
Microsoft.
That's what we're here for.
I know. Well, I mean physical computers opposed to other kinds of devices.
Gotcha.
As we know, Microsoft is killing Windows 10 in October of this year.
Yes.
In anticipation of that, they are now warning Windows 10 users who still have Windows 10 on their computers.
Yes.
That they are going to have to do something.
Yes, because they're basically paperweights.
Right. They're end-of-lifing the OS. Among the things that they want people to do with their Windows 10 computers is to recycle them.
Of course, that's a nice thing to do.
Now, it would be nice if they offered a way to upgrade to Windows 11 so that you can keep your computer.
That'd be nice, but that's not how Microsoft
now,
works.
There are a lot of Windows 10 computers out there that are not going to be able to handle Windows 11, as we all know, but some of them will.
Correct.
The problem is that this warning or whatever that Microsoft is sending out isn't inviting people to check for that. Okay? They're just telling them your computer is going to go off support and you're going to have to do something with it.
Right.
And when you're done with it, please recycle it. Now, it would be nice if they said, hey, here's a link to a thing that you can use to find out if it'll run Windows 11. Oh, and if you have a TPM or Trusted Platform Module.
Right, 2.0.
That is on the computer but wasn't activated in BIOS because the company that made the computer didn't think you needed it.
They put it there.
But we decided that you need it.
Right.
You have to go in and turn that feature on.
That's it.
In BIOS.
That's it.
Now, why they don't provide that information to people?
Yeah.
I think they're looking for more sales for the manufacturers.
They're in cahoots?
No.
Whoa. Are you saying they're forcing a refresh, Dennis?
I am not saying that.
No.
I may be implying it, but I am not saying it.
So older Windows 10 machines, you flip on that TPM module and your processor is at least, I think, ninth gen or newer.
Yeah,
it should work.
Yeah.
So you should be able to upgrade it to Windows 11 for free and not have to recycle your perfectly good computer that really is working fine. This is another reason people have this disdain for Microsoft and operating systems is that forced refresh. My machine's working fine. Why do I got to fix it? Well, we need to secure it better. Why do you need to secure it better? Well, because people keep hacking it. Well, then let's use TPM. Well, let's have you replace it. I mean, it's just this endless loop of Microsoft.
It's maddening.
It's crazy. So, you know, it's one of those things that we all have to deal with. If you're in business, here's the thing, right? Compliance is a thing now. It's been a thing for a long time, but very few folks have been pushing toward it. But if you're running older operating systems, heck, I was talking to a client. He's running a 2008 server and a 2012 server in a medical environment. You're not HIPAA compliant. I've told him that many times. You're not HIPAA compliant. So if you ever have an audit, they're going to be upset with you. So you need to be compliant these days, whether you're in manufacturing, whether you're in financial, whether you're an accountant, you got to do the WISP. There's all sorts of things you need to do. So you can't run the old operating systems because you have to be current. And when these companies say they're done, guess what? You're done too. And so recycling and refreshing systems is happening more frequently now because these operating systems are only have what? A 10-year lifespan?
If that. Yeah.
So we didn't make the rules. We're just trying to help you comply. We are victims as well. We would very much rather help you run your company faster, better, stronger than help you upgrade your Windows 10 to Windows 11 to do the same thing.
Yeah, and remember, we are in it with you, not against you.
Exactly.
When we deliver bad news that you got to replace a computer, it's not because we want you to replace it.
Right. So we want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Thank you, Carolyn, for producing. Thank you, Mike G, for posting everything on Facebook and X. And thank you, Dennis, for posting everything on ComputerTalkWithTab.com.
Remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
We will see you guys next Saturday.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.